Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
What's good, everybody? We are back. It is your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby, episode 67 of the Kicks and Shit Show. Bam, 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 bam.
Ooh, that was like...
I had a little rotating...
What's the opposite of crescendo?
I don't know. It's like, what is the opposite of crescendo? I don't know. But anyway, Gabby, what is going on in those sunny streets?
I know, Gerard. I mean, it's the time of year where, like, I can't believe it's not even 7 o'clock yet. The sun is setting on a wonderful summer. Every time I hear bah, 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 I now think of you. So
look at that.
I was online at Flight Club over the weekend. Yeah, your girl was out in the sneaker streets.
They shot the air horn at you out of Flight Club?
No, we just were towards the front of the line. And then I was like, you guys, you're almost there. Bah, 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 bah. And I was like, wait. Beats in the streets.
Do the people online appreciate your air horn?
They absolutely appreciated it. They were here for it. It was funny because they were like in line to get in the store, which I don't know. Why sneakers got to be so trendy? You know, I mean, a line on a Sunday night at Flight Club.
Well, especially Flight Club.
Nothing has launched. Like, come on. I mean, it moved very quickly. It was very well organized. Shouts to Flight Club. But like, I'm like, you should not be in there. No, I'm not a haterade judger like that, at least not out loud. But
you were quietly judging some folks.
But yeah, the people that were leaving were behind us in line. They were like gonna leave. They were like, oh, we're online. I'm like, we're literally like three people from the front of the line, and their Uber or someone else got in their Uber, so they came back, and I was like, welcome back, bah, 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 bah. It was really exciting. And I was like, you know, the girl had like the Louis that I'm trying to cop.
Okay,
it looked like they were like for the culture, so I was here for that.
All right, let's look at you out there doing our first sort of test at feats in the streets.
Yeah, it was very interesting though. I mean, I we always love a white glove experience. Flight Club had a plastic glove experience.
But didn't want anybody's oils messing up the sneakers, hand oils.
I mean, I had clean hands, but I do appreciate that. I also like, it's very interesting now that sneaker culture has become so much more mainstream and so much more trendy. You know how I feel about sometimes the perception that I get from people who don't know me if I'm rocking a pair of ones and just like walking around in the universe, right? I was like, can I try on a pair of shoes? And the girl looks at me like, I'm like, I'm not going to ask you for the Travis Scott ones. I'm not going to put on like the pair of like royal satins or
the
breads or the trophy rooms.
Right. Like, you're asking for like a generic pair.
Right. I'm like, can I try on a pair that's similar to what I'm wearing? Like priced sneaker.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, it was nice being back in a store, I will say.
How were they in terms of the overall COVID protocol? Was it like letting
us... They were on point. Okay. They were on point. It was everybody mask up.
Cool.
Gloves for everything that you touched. Everything was plastic wrapped. You got a quick temperature check upon going in.
Okay. All right.
And the line was there, I think, mostly to regulate the amount of people that were in the space. I appreciated that. I mean, overall, it was a great experience. I still think, you know, and I love Flight Club. I love going to see sneakers in real life, too, because I don't think photos of kicks always translate, right? That's what sometimes is the risk that we take if we're buying sneakers online,
especially
right?
When like, you're looking at color, right? Because the color sometimes doesn't quite, you're like...
I mean, the rabbit leather is a prime example of that. Yes. Every picture, it looked like it was a different color. And sometimes you just kind of have to roll the dice, go for a pair of kicks, and hope for the best. Or if you think you might like them, even if you're not sure, you just got to make a play for them. It was nice to see some of the kicks that I was looking at. I'm like working on my list.
All right.
I will say the resale on some of them is still a little higher than what I would like. Pay. You know which pair I'm specifically talking about. I'm trying to not mention them again on this episode.
All good. We know.
Running with the ocean.
We get it. We get it.
But what's going on in the streets for you, Gerard?
Well, nothing quite as exciting as long lines at Flight Club. But, you know, I am, like you, lamenting is maybe too strong a word, but sort of, you know, anticipating the end of summer and the change into the fall season. I'm not anti-fall. Like, I actually quite enjoy fall, and I enjoy the winter. I talked to you about my favorite 6 weeks of the calendar year are actually from my birthday through New Year's Eve, right? Like those 6 weeks, which happen to be end of November through end of December. So I like that time of year. And I generally like the fall. It's more, you know, it's a change, right? And generally speaking, as humans, we don't really love change, right? It's not our jam, right? So it's, you know, it's even though it's not happening anytime soon, it's the idea of, beach, that's really done. Not going to be done, right? Not going to be doing, unless you get on a plane and fly to some exotic place, which, you know, given the the current state of the world, probably not going to be happening this winter. You know, that's, so I've been thinking about that a little bit, but not all terrible news. Also good things happening, right? NBA training camps start next month. Crazy. Football season, college football's already begun. NFL starts very soon, next week. You know, it's busy times out here. So from that standpoint, exciting. Also, in the world of popular culture, and this will take us into our discussion about some things I've seen out in the news and in the culture, or in popular culture. I'm going to say the culture, in popular culture, very different thing. So, Sunday morning, the long-awaited Kanye West 10th studio album, Donda, released. after 3 listening parties, 2 in Atlanta, 1 in Chicago.
Him living in a stadium, catching on fire, having the Kardashian clan in their full outfits that match him multiple times. I mean, is this just a press scam, or do you think this is really part of the creative process? Well, because with Kanye, you never know.
And that's funny, because that's what I want to talk about, right? Like, it. Anything with him, I think, is always so complex and complicated, right? Because I think he is a complex individual, like, just from the standpoint of any of these artist creative types are like that, right? And he, we've heard him say this before, he views himself as among, if not just of this era, the most influential people of all time, right? And so modest. If we're being honest, the receipts kind of back it up, right? It's not, I mean, yes, he is boasting about it, but the receipts suggest that, right? Like, he's an extremely influential figure in popular culture, right? Obviously, we know what he's done in music, not just his own work, but we know the production work he's done for numerous other artists. You know, obviously his work in sneakers and fashion, of course. Like, he, you know, he sees himself on that very highly elevated level. So, yes, I've said this for a long time. I would say once we got past the trilogies, the college trilogy, and we headed towards 808s and Heartbreaks. Once we got to around that point, I feel like he was becoming full-on performance art. And, you know, and it might have even been a little bit before that. Glow in the Dark tour. He might have even started with, like, all right, I'm going full-on performance art now.
I totally agree with you. That was, like, the first time I actually got to see Kanye live was the Glow in the Dark tour. Amazing tour. He came out an hour late, and at a certain point when you're at MSG, if you go past the time of the last train, everybody's making OT. OT. You know what I mean? And so, but I will say, the way that he took the stage and was out there by himself and had this whole, like, literally like a performance stage, like a set to a play, to a show built. I mean, I thought it was really unique and beautiful. And there's not many people that can pull that off. And I'm not saying he's out here about to win like an Oscar for his acting skills, but it really was like a performance art piece instead of just being a good performer. Like, I've seen people like Justin Timberlake, don't judge me.
No, that's fine.
That are or a Beyonce that are known for their performance, but there's a difference between that and a true performance artist.
Yeah.
Right, where it's like almost like that abstract. Like, I feel like if Kanye, they had videos of his shows 50 years from now at the Whitney Museum.
That would not surprise you. You'd be like,
oh, not even a little bit, right? Because it's that type of, it's almost like he's an installation and he's a part of that.
Well said. Like, he's an installation. I like what you did there. No, and so that's kind of how I see it. Now, you know, of course he's controversial. You know, there's the red MAGA hat. There's all the things, right? But strictly in terms of the work that he produces, again, I am in the camp of he is one of the most influential artists, like, not just of this generation, but again, I think history will suggest, like, oh, this guy, what he does with genre bending sampling and the way he mixes tonalities and sounds, like, it's really interesting stuff. Now, music has this thing, as you know, is subjective, right? That just, it just is. Something that sounds good to your ear may not sound good to my ear and someone else and whatever, right? And is what it is. But I really enjoy looking at the work he does from a critical perspective, because I'm like, you know, while this is not, in my mind, as good a representation of where he is in his life as, say, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy was at that time, this Donda piece is representative of where he is in his life, right? It starts sort of very declarative and very clear that some decisions have been made, but it ends kind of in a very messy, like, sort of undeclared state, right? With those part twos at the end, and it's 27 songs long, and so a lot of things that kind of make people automatically like, ugh, I want no part of this, get me away, get me away. But there are things on there that I'm like, oh, this sounds good. And so anyway, I just think it anything that he does is always interesting, and I think, you know, like any sort of real true artist that's looking to push boundaries, like, that's where it's going to go, right? And I think that's the challenge with music, because music is art, right? And for so many people, it's like, I used to have, you know, I had someone in my life who used to say, when I go to a show, I want to hear the music the way it sounds on the album, right? Like, That's how they want. They want. Like,
I mean,
no, but and I'm not judging. But that's that's how some people want it, right? Like how it was produced on the album. That's how they want to hear it when they go to the show.
Of course, that's what they are expecting,
right? But you know, there are people who don't. A lot of artists who really are about the performance and really true musicians don't often play it that way, right? Like they will ad lib, they will freestyle, they will, you know, if it's a band, they may go on a jam a little bit longer in a certain section, whatever it may be. And so for me, I enjoy that piece of it where it's like, ooh, what are we getting? Like, and it may not sound good, and that's fine. I might be like, all right, but I'm not going to be like, oh my God, it's trash. And you know, anytime things like this come out and it's someone like Kanye that's polarizing, the internet goes crazy, right? And it's like, everyone's willing to decide, is this a classic? Is it a... I'm like, the album's been out for less than 24 hours.
I was going to say, meanwhile, I'm like, Donda Estas, the album. Listen to it first, everybody, and then we'll decide.
Right? People out here trying to make like grand claims. But that's also the internet and social media era that we live in. It's like, guys, let some shit breathe for a while. It's okay to not have a thought about it for 6 months. Or it's okay to not have a thought period about it. That's also fine.
But I think to your point, right, like some of the best music, some of the best TV shows, movies, it's how they age. It's not just how they are upon release, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I know, obviously, like, Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, for example, one of the greatest albums of all time, in my opinion. I think, you know, like, there was, like, doo-wop, the poppy songs, but then there was, like, so much more to unpack. That, like, the more you listen to it, and, like, that's still something I'll put on today.
Sure.
Right? It's just, it's held the test of time. I think, you know, there's always like the poppy songs that are going to be the releases, the first single. But usually what's really good and the real meat of an album is everything else. So
yeah, no doubt.
I'm curious to your point, like how it's going to marinate. Let it sit in the fridge for a few days.
Exactly.
Get the sauce into the meat. Let's revisit it.
And it's okay to not have a thought about it. Like, it's really cool. You don't need to run on the internet and be like, I didn't waste my time with that trash. It's like, it's cool, guys.
I mean, I think
like,
that's true about most things.
Right. You're right. Like,
that okay. Everybody runs the internet. Like, I know if there's something I want to watch, where do I not run to?
The internet.
The internet.
Correct.
Exactly.
Yes. I'm with you. Like, if there's a movie I want to see or whatever, I avoid all criticism about it or whatever. And when I say criticism, I don't mean the internet. I mean actual scholarly criticism. Yeah, I don't pay attention.
Twitter from your phone.
No. And then I watch it myself and I make my own. And then that's what you can do, folks. You can watch, listen, consume for yourself and make your own informed opinion. It's not that difficult. Anyway, and the final thing I'll say is that to me, the way I look at, and this is his 10th studio album, I look at it as the albums to me all, it's an arc, right? And it's an arc of his life. Like that's each album is representative of a portion in his life. And I think this album is representative of where he is. Now you can say, well, he's not in a great place. So, well, that could be very well true.
He's not going to have a great album.
Right. Exactly. And you could also make that correlation and say, this is not good. Right. And that's reflective of that. But that's how I view it. Right. It's representative of where he is in his life. So anyway, that's the Kanye West piece. Sticking in the sort of.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal, ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Kanye West family, or
are
you
we
know,
gonna head north or east?
I see what you did there. This is more like adjacent.
Okay.
Something I know, this is back to our Ballywick, right? Which is sneaker and different clothing lines and releases and stuff like that. Have you, and I know you have been paying attention to the Ivy Park releases for Adidas. And I find it so fascinating because every time it pops up on my Adidas thing, it's like, oh, like, but it's not like.
I never get those alerts though. So whatever you're doing, I mean, you're more of a man of the ladies than I am apparently because I never get these alerts.
Well, luckily for Ivy Park, they do also make things for men. But, you know, most of the things are, it's a predominantly women line or they'll have unisex things. I think it's interesting because Beyonce, like, remember when the first, like, a release, right? Those huge big boxes got sent to, like, I mean, I wouldn't even say they were influencers. I mean, okay, yes, they are influencers in the sense that they're people who are popular that people will follow. But they're not, like, you know, Jimmy influencer down the street. It's like fucking Reese Witherspoon and, like, you know, celebrities.
Right. Yeah. Right? I mean, like, it's funny. I was actually working at the PR firm at the time that was doing the Ivy Park launch. Okay. And a lot of that was around celebrity. And I think the way that, you know, Instagram and social media has changed for me is that if you want to maybe have, like, a news piece about it, mm-hmm. celebrities help.
Yes.
Correct. But when it comes to actually buying and talking about it, like, the true engagement doesn't come from the celebrity. Right. It comes from people that are styling it, using it in their everyday life. Even if it's not a full fit, if it's like a piece here and there, I mean, full fits are also great, you know, mm-hmm. head to toe. We don't like to mix all of our brands, but, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting the way that the line has transformed because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I find interesting is, like, so the latest one was like her rodeo collection, right? And I'm pulling it up on my phone and there are pieces that are still available. And quite a lot, to be quite honest with you. And I wonder, you know, on the one hand, it's quote-unquote bad for Adidas because there's, you know, you're doing these releases and there's a lot of the items are available. But good, right, I think, for people who want to consume it. I mean, it's not for me, but, you know, people who are out there. Because what is the thing we always talk about? Oh, these coveted releases come out. There's like five items and then we can't get them and whatever. I kind of like the fact that if you are, because, you know, Beyonce has her stable of devoted fans, right? And so.
Yeah, the Beehive.
Of course. And so they want to buy anything that she does, right? And so it's nice that there's an opportunity for them, that it exists. They're not getting shut up.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I do think, though, like, the way that I look at the Ivy Park line in the beginning, because it was limited edition, right? Of course, it's going to sell off the shelves. But because now it's a staple line, like, it's in a way that, like, not everything from Jordan sells out right away. Not mm-hmm. everything from KD sells out right away. It has now become more of a staple than it is, like, a limited collab drop. To me, I don't look at that as a collab. I look at it as a new extension of the brand. Mm-hmm. Like, how I can go to the store and buy, like, Jordan brand t-shirts and other things like that. So, for me, the expectation isn't for it to necessarily sell out. I love how they're playful and creative. And to your point, I like that people can actually get it. I think, you know, the things that sit also these days are very interesting to me, right? It's like, depending on which way the hype culture goes, like a Jordan, especially if it's a popular silhouette, is going to go right away. I'm worried that Fragment is going to oversaturate with things because they've been doing a lot lately. I mean, that was what was so great about the Fragment ones that came out years ago is that it was hard to get them. They came in limited sizes. They didn't even come in my sizes unless it was like a friends and family pair that I was able to get my hands on, which I was not. but, you know, I think the more and more this stuff becomes common, like, I don't want Sakai's to be another colorway. Did I make a play for them? Absolutely. Did I take an L? Also, absolutely. But it's to the point where, like, I don't feel like I'm heartbroken over not getting the Off-White Dunks, for example. I saw them all over my feed. I had no FOMO. You know what I mean? And I think that, like, that's not always a bad thing as well. I do want to clarify that where just I like that. I mean, Yeezy was formed, so eventually everyone could have a pair, right? I know some pairs were released more than others, but you see them all over the place. Yep. And I think, you know, that's the way that, to me, something like an Ivy Park is, right? Yeah. Like the U Ambush clothing. A lot of times, like, that doesn't sell out right away. Or like Melody Ehsani or, you know, Aleli May. The shoes sell out, but not always all the clothing that comes along with it. And I think that's true with a lot of different collabs, except for maybe Travis Scott. Mm-hmm. They also do such a limited run. They're not always available in certain places. But I like that it's accessible. I think, you know, that's part of the culture that's great, is that it is inclusive, you know? And I, there's so few opportunities where things are as inclusive these days because there's so much hype and so much mainstream support behind it.
Yep.
I like that it's available, that you can still get that and rock it.
No, I think you're dead on with that. And our friend Mike Sykes, who is the author of the Kicks You Wear newsletter, talked about this in a recent newsletter, the one that came out today, actually. There is this, because we talk about the psychology of it all the time, right? This idea of, oh my God, a drop comes, and there's a drop every week, right? So, and often multiple per week. And it's this constant psychology of like, and it's, we know it's limited amounts that get dropped. So you feel like you're like this hamster on the wheel, right? And you're chasing,
absolutely
chasing,
hamster on
which,
the wheel,
which
yeah.
you never, I mean, I guess if you're super, super lucky, sometimes you get, most times you never hit, right? I would say it's 99.9% of the time you miss. That 0.0001 you hit, right? So that's once every, I don't know, 5 years or whatever the number is, depending on how often you do it. But when the stuff sits, it allows you to have to regain a little more sense of control and power over, okay, what do I want to actually get into here, right? And that's kind of nice, again, for the consumer, right? I mean, look, we all know economics is not supply and demand worth, right? That's how they keep you part of the hype train. But when stuff is on the shelves, you can be like, ooh, all right, let me go look through this stuff. And then it's like, hey, I actually like this, right? Versus, did I really like the thing before? Or was it just hype that I was feeding into, right? Like, and I think oftentimes for a lot of people, I don't know if they're able to differentiate between the two.
I think most people aren't. And I think, you know, that's what's so interesting right now about sneaker culture, is because so many brands and so many retailers also back a lot of resellers. Mm-hmm. So that's where like the cogs on the wheel aren't going back the other way, not anytime soon. This is like the new normal. I think that's what makes things so fascinating, right? But like, I now see tons of Air Force One drops. I see every girl. It, like, I feel like the white Air Force One low with a little bit of that platform sole has replaced the Fila disruptors of 2018, 2019, right? That's like the vanilla milkshake of sneakers right now, or if you know what I'm saying, which is why I own zero of those pairs. But I think it's interesting seeing like things are everywhere. There's so many colorways. At a certain point, just like let people have it, right? Like I wish it wasn't. No, and I don't even mean the hype releases. I mean the regular. And I think that's where like and I know we've talked about the silhouette before. The Air Jordan 1 is so fascinating to me in a mid. Because the colorways are fire. They're churning them out all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to get them. But, like, to me, that's a great point of entry if you want to play in sneakers. And some of the colorways are better than some of the high tops. And especially, like, for women that are looking for something a little bit more petite, it's really great. And so I like to see that Jordan is getting flexible with that, right? Yep. They're, like, they understand the nuances of the hype versus not. And I wish they did a release with ones maybe around holiday, where you know that 11s, the 11 holiday pair usually is a little bit easier to get. They usually do a larger release. I would love to see them do it with maybe not necessarily a Bred or a Chicago, but like something that is like a holiday release, even if it's all red with like a black swoosh, like in the way that they did the 11s years ago. I'd be very interested in seeing how that does. Just because there's larger quantities. If the hype culture is really going to gravitate to it, I think because it's a one, absolutely. But it would be interesting to see in the coming like months and years if Jordan Brand does kind of play around with some of those classic silhouettes a little bit more. Like Dunks used to not be able to get them. Now there's almost so many releases. And to your point, like you can get 0.01% of them, but you're seeing a lot of Dunks out in the world now.
You are.
Especially the Wolves.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is we talk about these collaborations and drops and extensions of lines, like you're thinking, like, with Ivy Park, like, I think the other part of it is we have to remember, as you often point out, Gabby, we are, like, immersed in it, right? There are people who buy sneakers and clothing who do not follow on social and know this drop release is coming out, this, like, the majority of the people who buy clothes, sneakers, do not do not buy it in the way that we look at it from for these leases, right? They just go to the store or go online and go, oh, that looks nice. I'm going to buy that. It's nice to have something like those Ivy Parks or whatever available on the shelf or on the virtual shelf online to be like, oh, I never even heard of this. I didn't know what this is. This looks cool. I'm going to buy it. So that's a nice thing, I think, for everyone, right? Because no, I don't think anyone, the idea of striking out every Saturday morning, that's not a thing that we want like to
the
do.
The average person's not going to do that. Right. They're going to try. They're going to see that they can't get it. Or they're going to go on a random day and see that it's sold out and be like, nah, I'm just going to get something else.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have these things available so people can just go to the stores themselves and say, oh, I like this. I'm going to get it.
Yeah. And I know Yeezy is its own entity, even within Adidas. They have its own team, its own branding, its own marketing, all that good stuff. Own production distribution. But that's where I think Adidas really does a great job, where they recognize that something is like a cultural moment and it's trendy and they make enough of it that people can get it.
Yeah.
Like I look at like the Stan Smiths or the Superstar, right?
They do. You can always get those.
You can always get a classic pair.
Mm-hmm.
And you
I love
can
that.
Also get some iterations. And I think that's something that like, hey, Nike, we love you, but it's okay for people to have your sneakers that are cool. Like, at the end of the day, like, I think they need a little good PR and they're doing so many amazing things. So I don't want to say that Nike doesn't have good PR because I don't mean that. I think Nike and Jordan brand, because they are the number one and the leader, they do so much innovation and development and they know trends and forecasting so well. But it would be interesting to see if they took almost Adidas's model and were like, you know what? We're going to make a dunk low that anyone can get.
Right. That's available. Like, that's always available, right? A classic.
Right. Or at least like a lot of people can get it. Like, hey, crowdsource, see what people want. Mm-hmm. Or like a Jordan 1 that just is like a black and white pair, like the panda colorway, you know, nothing crazy. I would love to know if that was a test. Like, I think that would be really cool to see.
You know, one of the things that we talked about with our last guest, the kid James, you know, he talked about for your mental health, you know, you're not getting these, but if there's something I want, he like, our good friend Sneaker Galactus, you know, shout out to Chad Jones. Like, they have relationships with people within the sneaker community, and that's how they're able to get this stuff, right? So that's the other part of it, right? Like, the people who are all on the hype train and whatever, and you get a note, it's like, well, you haven't spent the time to build relationships, right? Because I know for those guys, and not just them, many women too, right? Like, if there's a pair they want, they can most likely get it because of the relationships they have. And that's the part that's important, right? Like, you gotta build those. You gotta build those if you truly care about this stuff.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's been interesting for me because I always like to repay favors too. So I never really ask for much because it depends on the type of pull that people would need. I have access to certain things, certain resources, certain projects, campaigns, but not necessarily inventory, right? So like, to me, it's amazing. And this is what I love about the sneaker culture. People are truly in it. When I posted about the Fragment Sakais in the blue the other day, I had a few people reach out to me that were like, hey, do you want to use my Nike account? And like, or like,
nice.
Send your payment info, but do you want to make a play? Because we know that like each time you have a Nike account, it needs a different phone number. Otherwise, your wires are going to get crossed, right? Even my brother was like, if you ever need me to like try for stuff for you. And I was like,
look at that. Wow.
Pigs are flying in New Jersey, let me tell you. When my brother said that, I felt like such a proud big sister. But it's true. It's like the culture rallies together. Like, I'll post about something and I now have people that reach out. They're like, hey, do you want this? Or I know someone who's selling it at retail. Or what about this? Or can you reach out to this person? I'm like, cool. Like, what can I do to help you? Like, let me send you a thank you note or let me put you on a campaign or whatever that looks like. So I think, you know, the sneaker community, the way that it has transformed despite all these things that, like, you know, maybe are less than ideal, to me shows that it's honestly stronger than ever. It's almost like now that it's become a mainstream, the people that are true in it do look out for each other. And I love that about it.
Yeah. And if you guys, you know, listen, we've had some great guests on here who talk about this stuff repeatedly. And like, they let you know, we talk about anotherlane.com, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks, which sponsors America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell. Like, that's a platform that if you get on there, like, those are the people you talk to because they will help you if this is something that matters to you and you really, you know, you really care about that. You know, something else that's coming up today, we talked about Kanye's album dropping. the cover art for Drake's Certified Lover Boy was also.
First of all, your response right now is the perfect response. Well, because I keep getting alerts on Twitter and Instagram about it, and I'm like, "You're going, got time for that right
I
now."
I love the Sorry, fact that it's Certified Lover. It's fantastic.
Like, well, I mean, you know that he's been rocking the heart carved in his hair. He had the Nike socks that he did with the hearts on them. I mean, it's only natural that that's a progression following Degrassi, right? Like, Jimmy was a heartbreaker back in the day.
Real true, Jimmy.
Degrassi streets.
Shout out to Degrassi, right? Where folks first got their first intro into one Aubrey Graham.
Mr. Aubrey Graham, yeah.
Well, we know that he has a collaboration and partnership with Nike. And I know that I got that hoodie, one of the hoodies from that collab. I know the shoe's going to be coming out very soon as well. I don't think I've seen any images of what it might look like. I have no opinion about if I'm going to try the cap or not. I mean, it depends on what it looks like. And I have not seen anything yet. So maybe I should look that up and see what does that potential shoe look like.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, knowing Drake's history with Nike, usually their classic, like, monochromatic silhouettes, usually a black mm-hmm. style, a white style.
Yep.
I think, like, when he plays with, like, the Nocta stuff and the OVO mm-hmm. clothing, like, mm-hmm. that's where he gets a little playful. Like, you know, when I was in Vegas, I had to go and stop
you
at
did.
The OVO store. Yeah. I've been weirdly, like, collecting pins. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. They're sitting in a jar. But I, like, weirdly love pins. So I was like, what is something that I can get in the store that I can't get online? So, of course, I got my OVO Win Las Vegas t-shirt because I also live in t-shirts. Mm-hmm, but, you know, I think it's even that. It's like it's a black base. Everything is pretty simple and streamlined, even when he does play with color, because I'm peeping the Nocta hoodie in the background.
You see it, right?
It's my favorite Bel Air hoodie.
Yeah,
whenever you want me to borrow that again, you know, I got you.
Shouts to that Nocta hoodie. No, actually, that was funny because that was on Sneakers app, right? And I was like, oh, let me just thing about hoodies is I love hoodies, so I'm like, all right,
if
it doesn't look crazy, I'm like, oh, this looks nice, I'm gonna rock it, cool, no problem. But again, when this whole sneaker and apparel collaboration come out in a few weeks, we'll see if I'm into it or not.
If you're a certified lover boy or not, son.
Shouts to Drake and the OVO fam. the sixth god.
I love it. Well, I'm excited to see what comes out. I mean, I think, you know, Nike has tried to recreate the magic of when Kanye was at Nike with artists like Drake, with Khaled, you know. Yeah, I think they have the Nike family of collaborators, creators is amazing. Sometimes it surprises me too. Like, I expect almost the Drake stuff to get more hype than it does, but I think because he's been a partner for so long, but I am intrigued to see what everything's going to look like.
I'm with you. Just a little bit of quick news. I know among the big brands, Reebok, one of the big things that people have been talking about in the sneaker biz has been Kirby Jean Raymond, right, who is Reebok's new VP of Creative Direction. And I know that a short film came out called Crate Master. I have not seen it yet, but I know that people who really, one, enjoy him, but also are Reebok fans, really looking forward to this. So I'm excited that Reebok heads have sort of like the first piece of something that he's doing. Obviously, they hope that this is just the appetizer to the main meal, and that, you know, that there are some really cool things coming from Reebok in that regard, right? Because that's what a lot of the brands have done. They've sort of tapped these really interesting heads of creative now, because they realize things are changing, right? Like, the world is a lot different place, and it's continuing to evolve. And sneakers are not just a piece of something you put on your foot, right? They're art. And, you know, how can we continue to push the envelope forward? And when you're, you know, a company like Reebok, right? Like, how can you, you know, stand out and differentiate, right? And so I think it'll be interesting to see what is coming down the pike. I'll take a look at Crate Master and probably talk about it on next week's show.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's I love all the content that's coming out around sneakers lately. Like, the hype on HBO has been super interesting. I've started to dive into that this week, and we can talk maybe more about that next week as well. Just some of our favorites, even some of our former guests and people that we've talked about on the show. I love seeing the cameos and what's been happening. I'm also always curious about, like, how shows like that are being received by more of the mainstream, right? Like, are people finally getting a glimpse into what it's like. And I think, you know, we were talking before we started today's show about, you know, I went to our former guest, Anthony Donahue's, an event that he was hosting over the weekend for his sister up in the Bronx. And I was talking to a girl there all about sneakers. And she was like, it's so nice to just talk to somebody who, like, gets it, not just wants to be right. fascinated with it. And she was right. like, what should I do? I want to take pictures with my son. And I was like, just put stuff out there, ask people what they want to see, mm-hmm. do what makes you happy. And yeah. we were just talking about different styles and silhouettes and this and that. And it was just, it was nice to kind of have that human connection, especially during the pandemic, like when you didn't really have that. And social media has been great. I think like Twitter Spaces, Jazz,
Spotify, Green Kari, Room, Clubhouse, you know, all that stuff.
Jazz and Kari and mm-hmm. TJ have been doing some amazing stuff in Twitter Spaces specifically. I love seeing all the conversation, but there really is something to be said about being able to talk about this stuff IRL, right? Yep. And I think that's a piece for me that I'm excited for things to go back to that, hopefully. Well, it's a lot to talk about in the culture, aside from Twitter.
If folks behave themselves, we can get to it. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, of course, everyone knows it though, but I should say it because I did mention Reebok. We do know that Adidas did sell Reebok to Authentic Brands earlier this mm-hmm. month. And actually, Reebok took a loss on it. I'm sorry, Adidas took a loss on it, right? Because they bought Reebok for $4 billion and then sold it for about $2.5 billion. So, you know, even if you're not a math whiz, you know that's selling at a loss, right? But I do wonder, again, with the new creative director, what is Reebok trying to do? Is there an opportunity for them to sort of, you know, revitalize themselves as a brand? We shall see. Time will tell.
I agree. I'm excited.
Well, folks, that is all for today's show. And, you know, we will be back next week. We will have, I'm sure, some more interesting tidbits for you. As I said, I'm going to check out Crate Masters, so I'll do a little quick breakdown of that. And, you know, there's obviously going to be something's going to happen between now and next week, as it always does.
Absolutely.
And can't as wait. Always, you know where to find us. We are part of the Count the Dings family. You know, you can get us where with the Original Bomb Show, Crazy Sexy Cool, Growing Up the Same, the Rap Name Podcast, Woke Bros. I mean, it's just all the shows and us. And of course, we are at Kicks and Shit Show on all social media platforms. Until next time, peace.